Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
Happy New Year, you old bastards. This is Knife Talk, podcast for knife makers, knife enthusiasts, DIYers, all he is. But this is not only just the first Knife Talk episode of the new year, but this is also the 7th annual All Beef Review. The All Beef Review is a tradition we've been having. We do it at the end of the year, the beginning of the year, and it's all the listeners send in their beefs, their bitchings, their moanings, and we read them off, no matter what it is, well, within reason.
But it's a good positive start to the year.
Yeah, get it out. Get it out now.
The airing of grievances. This is our Festivus. Yeah.
Get it out now and shut the fuck up and get back to work afterwards. My name is Jeff Fader from Fader Knives. With me, as always, Craig Lockwood of Chop Knives. And Mareko Momasi, Momasi Fire Arts. We're here every week, with the exception of the past couple of weeks, is for vacation. Mareko, how the hell are you?
Happy New Year. I can't believe it's been... This is our 7th annual.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy.
Jeez.
Crazy. Happy New Year. Thank you, guys. I hope you had a good time with the family and stuff like that. The holidays was good. It was low-key. We had a death in my wife's side of the family. Off to a strong start. She was a great lady. Her grandmother on her mom's side. Yeah. And so it was sad to have that loss, but she was like, she had a lot of pain and stuff at the end of the year. So
we're getting depression already, 30 seconds in. Exactly. Let's get it out. So get it out.
We'll get started now. One with a laugh. But so it was good to get quality time with the wife's side of the family, everybody who's, you know, related to that grandmother and stuff. And just kind of getting time with them, eating some good food. Kid got a lot of cool stuff. I got a bunch of mushroom foraging stuff, which was really fun.
What would that be? Mushroom foraging stuff. What would the stuff be?
Oh, just like a mushroom, like an Opinel foraging knife with the brush on the back.
The brush on it. I know the one. Yes.
Yep.
That's cool.
Yeah. And then I got a couple different mushroom like baskets or bags for carrying the mushrooms. One is a net bag, so it allows the spores to kind of not be trapped in the bottom of a box or a paper bag or a plastic bag or something like that. The mesh bag allows the spores to kind of go back out into the woods and be on the ground and hopefully create some more mushrooms in the future. I also got a really nice foraging basket. I made a new friend. His name, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Paul Stamets. He's a mycologist, and he's here in the Pacific Northwest. He's got a big company called Fungi Perfecti. He's done a couple documentaries. He's been Joe Rogan's podcast a few times, just kind of talking about the benefits of mushrooms medicinally as well as just like culinarily and how they can be used to help kind of like save our planet in various ways. Yeah. It's interesting.
And for getting off your tits too.
Exactly. Get off your
is
fucking
he the one
tits.
Who did the Netflix documentary?
He did.
I've seen that. Yeah, it's very good, actually.
Yeah, Fantastic Fungi. I don't know if it's on Netflix anymore, but it had a solid run. But otherwise, shop stuff's been pretty low key just because kid is out of school. Really caught up spending time with him, which has actually been super fun. He got a shit ton of Lego kits for Christmas, but he is such a prolific builder. He had everything built in like 2 days.
Wow.
And that's like literally thousands of pieces of Legos. He's just like, he's so dialed in. It's amazing.
Locked in. He's locked in.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a builder for sure. He's a builder, engineer, problem solver. I'm trying to think what else. Otherwise, yeah, it's just been low-key and hanging out with the family and not doing a ton in the shop, which has been good to have a break, but I need to get back in there, and I'm ready to do that. And so this will be a good way to kind of air any grievances and get the fuck on with the year.
Yeah. Clear the decks.
Yep.
Clear the decks.
Yeah.
Craig, how are you?
I'm good. Do you know what? I'm 3 stone heavier.
Wow.
So what was that, like 3 pounds?
I've had one of those Christmases where basically like the last gig that we did was a few weeks before Christmas, come back to France, and all I've done is eat. In fact, I haven't turned my computer on until about 45 minutes ago. That's why I'm a bit late now, because everything needed updating and everything was a bit of a pain. And it's just, we've just watched TV, we've ate way too much, just playing with the kids. It's just been like the laziest time I've had in, it feels like years, properly embraced the sort of, you know, the whole festive thing. And it's been lovely. It really has. Yeah, the kids are still bouncing off the walls, so they don't go back to school till next Monday. As you can imagine, the place was just full of, you know, toys and whatever. You know, having 3 of them at that age, the place has just been a mess. And we were just like, let's just go with it. Let's just leave it a mess. It's fine. So we've just been like wallowing pigs in shit for the last 2 weeks.
Jesus.
And like, yeah. And now we're just like, all right, okay. Kids got homework they need to do before they go back in on Monday, and it's like, you know, reality slowly started to kick in. So, yes, when I turned on my computer earlier, it was just like, oh, geez, yeah, there's emails and there's updates to be done and everything. It's just like, oh, yeah, life goes on. But it's been great. But I've put on some weight. I really have. It's just like, oh, man, I need to sort that.
Do you know, yeah. I actually heard something about you recently.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not that. Okay, go on.
I heard that you were recognized in a Burger King. Is that possible? Is that true?
Oh.
I guess it's true.
I've got a beef. My wife.
Who's your source? I was gonna say.
It's got to be her. It's got to be her. Do I tell you the full story?
Well, before you tell the full story,
I don't know what
story,
she's told
before,
you.
Before you tell the full story, we gotta hear it because this is a true beef. I mean, Burger King. Your wife is the best because
in
if something crazy happens. She goes straight to me and she says, right before the podcast, I got to tell you, Craig what happened in Burger King and ask him if he was recognized.
That's why she gave me a little grin, like a little shit-eating grin.
She set me up
to the studio. She was like, have a good time.
Oh, she's the best. Your wife, anytime there's something good to tell about you, she goes right. She's like, here you go. Silver platter. So go ahead.
Right. So first off, I wasn't in Burger King to eat. Okay, let's just get that out of the way. So it was between Christmas and New Year. We need seafood's a big thing over here for New Year and for Christmas, actually. You know, the whole thing. So we need to get more fresh stuff for New Year's Eve because that's a big seafood day here in France. So we go to the city to a big shop to get some. And Buddy, my youngest, he's only 2, he needed the toilet. And it's like, oh, geez, and there's a Burger King. So like, right, let's go to the Burger King. Get out of the car, I take him in. I can't believe I'm telling this story. Fucking hell. So anyway, I run into Burger King, and just in front of the toilet now, there's a member of staff, and I'm not sure what it's like in the US, but in Burger King, certainly here in France, they have a lot of, sort of, should we say, challenged people working in Burger King.
Okay.
Right, so he sees me running in, and he's staring at me. He's just like staring at me as I'm walking in with Buddy. And he looks at me, and he gives this, you know, everybody knows that international sign for signature. You know, you put your hand up, and you make this thing with your hand. Right.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, fuck. So I said, I need to take Buddy to the toilet. So I'll be back out in a minute. Right. This is terrible. I take Buddy to the toilet. I come out. He's still standing there. Right. What an idiot. Right. So I look at him and he does this sign thing again. So I said, okay. So I take a piece of paper out of his hand. Right. And sign the bit of paper and give it back to him. Right.
I know
this
is going.
What a fucking idiot. Right? And he just smiles and says thank you, and you know, I get on. So I get on now, and by this time, there's like a kid's soft play there in Burger King. So all the other kids are in now, and they're playing. So I'm like, oh, geez. Okay, let's sit down for 5 minutes, I say to my wife. I look over, and I told her this story about this guy, and he'd asked for a signature and stuff. She said, really? I said, yeah. We looked around. He's gone around all the tables handing out pencils and paper to anybody with kids. And there's me. I just signed this paper and gave it back to him.
He thought you wanted her. He was a fan of the 355s. He wanted your signature.
Yeah,
but he was asking. Oh, that is the best.
But it turns out he was giving everybody. He was saying to going around all the tables. You know, anybody with kids. Do you want some paper and pens for the kids to play with? And I was like, oh,
that is
man.
Awesome.
So yeah, that took me straight back down to earth.
And, God, yeah. What a
we
great
quickly
story.
Got out. I can't believe she told you that.
she didn't tell me. She said, ask him about it. You know what? God bless you. Because you know what? Because that's the best. That is the best. That is the best. That is the greatest. If this was maybe 15 years ago, we might have been telling the story differently. But
Possibly.
It was the way it is. That's hilarious.
I hope he keeps the autograph.
I hope he does.
It would be worth something.
I should have went over and said to him, actually, I'm a thing, you know, I'm a real thing.
Oh, which album did you listen to? Thanks for listening. Garçon? Garçon?
Hilarious. Le signature. Okay, I just go to the toilet first, mate. Wait till I get back. And you're still outside the toilet when I got back. That's what I thought was strange.
You're a big shot. Oh God. You're the best. God bless you. God bless your wife for telling.
Aside from that, it's been great. I'd say it's been totally relaxed and chilled. We had people over the day before Christmas Eve, a bunch of sort of friends that we've made over here the last sort of past year. You know, with the kids being in school, other parents, everybody came over for food and wine, and it was great. And that was like the start of Christmas for us then, and we haven't stopped since. We've been eating and drinking nonstop. So, yeah. So my thing is we need to eat everything in the house before we can calm back down. Get rid of it. Otherwise, there's a temptation.
Right.
So there's still about 3 bottles of port left I need to do in the next 2 days, I think. But we're fine. We're good.
Jesus Christ. You're going to be asking for a signature, all right.
Oh, jeez.
At the hospital. Yeah. They're going to be wanting your, they're gonna be wanting your fucking signature to sign in.
Yeah.
How big are these bottles of port? Are these 250s, 500s?
They're like 750s, aren't they?
Holy
they're like
shit.
Bottles of wine, basically.
Port. Yeah, like a
bottle.
Oh, my
God.
Yeah.
The port, usually when I go and I see port at the wine store, it's like a 250 milliliter or 500.
Really?
Maybe. Never the same size as a regular bottle of wine.
Yeah. I mean, they're fatter, but they're shorter. But I think they're 750s.
Likewise.
Like wine. Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
I'm with you. All right, listen, guys.
That's all the cheese does.
Well, listen. I'm glad you're here. Glad we're here. Glad the listeners are here, because this is the All Beef Review. Nobody gives a shit what I did, and it's fine.
Hold on, the kid's been back in town. You're not getting away
with this. You were salting roads. You made a hammer.
All right. My daughter's home. She just turned 20. We've been having a great time, and I just found out that we're going to go see the Knicks on the 13th. My high school friend came up with his daughters, who are my daughter's age, and we're going to go see the Knicks. That's great. I've spent some time with him. I did my traditions. I forged a hammer at the end of the year. It was the best hammer I ever forged, which was a lot of fun. I did a lot of pittering around in the shop to get it ready. We cleaned the shop up and got everything out. It was an awesome year. And then I'm just kind of doing some insulation around pipes because I'm afraid of a freeze. But other than that, we're back to it. We're back to doing all that stuff. And I'm hoping, I'm waiting for an email for some personal reason. A really great opportunity it might happen. I don't even want to talk about it until it happens. And if it happens or it doesn't happen, I'll tell you about it on the podcast. So there's your radio tease. But I'm really excited. I'm really kind of having
personal stuff, not work stuff.
Nothing bad, only good. And if it happens, it's great. If it doesn't happen, it's fine too. But it's like my fingers are crossed for something that would be really fun for me to do. And that's it. I don't know anything. What else is it to say? We get the All Beef Review here, ladies and germs. All Beef Review is not our stories of beef. It's your stories of beef. So if you want to send us any questions, and next week we'll start doing questions again. We still have a pile of questions from last year. If you want to send us in your beefs, if you want to send in your listener feedback, you want to send in anything, go to Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram, and we will, you know, that's where you can send us your stuff. So the All Beef Review is where you, the listener, have sent in your beefs. We'll read them. And then we'll kind of kibitz about them. You know, we'll talk a little bit about it. So I guess I'll start in with the first all beef. The first beef comes from at Hen Knack. Hen Knack says, "Hey guys, my beef this year is with myself. Having started on my knife making journey only at the end of last year, I often want to run before I can walk. Due to poor health, I can only do a couple of hours a week in the workshop, and being amazed and often intimidated by all the amazing work out there. I sometimes forget how much I have to learn and the grind to get the basics in and just enjoy the process. Thanks for all the great support. Thanks, Hendrik." Hmm. What do you guys think?
I mean, his beef. I don't know what, you know.
Well, this is something we relate. Talk about a lot. This is the kind of stuff we talk about a lot.
I can relate because you're excited about trying new stuff. And right. Yeah, I've definitely gotten ahead of myself. And like one of my projects was this sword. Like I was doing these ancient sword recreations and I got really excited about the project and jumped in head first. Most of it was pretty straightforward until I had to do what's called a tip weld or a fish mouth weld, where you intentionally cut in kind of an opening at the end of a rectangular bar and then you push the points together to forge weld those back together so that the pattern all flows to like a center line at the end of the sword. And I totally fucked it up. And what was going to be a very lucrative project became garbage very quickly. Ugh. And so I can completely relate to that.
The hardest part for guys like Hendrik is just, you know, getting excited, but realizing that this is like a lifelong pursuit. All need to stop with the looking at young guys and seeing how good they are at a young age. And so everybody's on a different path. Everyone's at a different speed. And you're better off seeing this as a lifelong pursuit as opposed to buying everything and trying to make money right off the bat. That's the biggest problem in this, you know, that people have in terms of taking something they enjoy and ruining it. You know, basically that's what it is. They're ruining their joy by trying to be awesome right out of the chute.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, and I
think quite often ahead, as well, I think we'll find when we start something, we'll have sort of a knack for it. And we're like, okay, this is great. And we learn so much so quickly. Then we hit this wall because, you know, you can only learn so much quickly, you know, only so to a certain point. The rest is experience and putting the hours in.
Right.
And then, you know, like he says, you know, seeing other people's work, it can sort of get you down. It's just like, well, the rest comes through experience. And I'm completely, completely on board with where he is because, I mean, I did exactly this. I learned to run before I could walk. And a lot of that is down to this podcast. You know, I was speaking to, you know, the best in the world and I'm just starting out, you know. So it is one of those things. But, yeah, I suppose it's just time, and like he says, he doesn't have much time in the shop anyway, which is again something that I sort of suffer with. It's trying to keep that enjoyment, and I wouldn't say excitement because it's still exciting when you do get to do it, but the what used to be on my mind 24/7 isn't anymore, you know. So you still need to try and keep that. The excitement may be gone, but the enjoyment when you're actually doing it, mm-hmm. you need to try and keep hold of that.
I think the trick that I've found for myself is not to be too hard on, and it's taken me a long time to figure this out, like literally until like the last year and a half, but not to be too hard on myself when I do make those mistakes like I did with that sword. I think it's important to make those incremental jumps as you're going along in your process because that's how you grow and how you get better. And if you bite off more than you can chew, instead of chastising yourself, or when you're done chastising yourself, take a step, take a breath, look back at it, figure out what you did wrong or how you took off too much, and then reevaluate, and then go back into it and just take maybe a smaller bite. But I think the hard part of this is nobody in this game is never making mistakes, and mistakes are 100% always going to be part of the process, no matter how much experience you have. I make fucking mistakes all the time, and but the key is learn, like putting those mistakes into perspective, I think, and seeing them as lessons in disguise, essentially. And I know I've said this before, but there's an opportunity to learn something from all your mistakes. And that's where our wisdom, our greatest wisdom comes from, I believe. And so taking a second to transform that mistake into a lesson, it's no longer a mistake. It's a lesson you learn. You're better for it. You're better knowledge, or you have better understanding and knowledge for it, and move on. But don't be too hard on yourself, or else, because you're just wasting time, honestly, more than anything.
And don't listen to these assholes who's like, oh, you don't know about this. Oh, you don't do that.
Yeah, fuck those guys.
Don't listen to those fucking guys. Don't listen to those. Not one of them. Not one of them. I hear shit from some of the best of the best. And they talk about culinary knives and new culinary knives, and they know everything. And I'm looking at these guys, I'm like, motherfucker never even made a peanut butter jelly sandwich. Shut the fuck up. Doesn't know what he's talking about. Doesn't know what he's talking about. So just relax. Enjoy it. It's a long road. Know that this is something you can do for the rest of your life. And don't worry about all that shit. Just don't look out the window so much. Go forward. You know, everybody looking out the window. When are we going to get there? Stop looking out the window. Just fucking move forward.
Just as a side point to that, I think Mareko should be commended as well Mareko really does share his mistakes.
Yeah, he does.
We see everybody's sort of highlights reel online, and it's people's best work. Nobody shares the mistakes, but Mareko does quite regularly on the show, and we all see the amazing stuff that he makes. But it just goes to show that he's human too, and he's making mistakes. So
for sure,
we all.
Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta could make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, part of me being on this journey is actually my own kid. Like I was just saying, like, he'll burn through 6 or 8 sets of Legos just in a couple days, when it would take me probably 4 or 5 or a fucking week to build all those things. But at the same time, he makes mistakes and he gets really down and hard on himself. And so I'm like, dude, you got to chill out. And I was like, and often a conversation always, it comes back to him. I'm like, Daddy's a really great knife maker, isn't he? He's like, yeah, and he loves talking about me or bragging to me about to other people and shit like that, which I fucking hate. But anyways, I think it's sweet.
That was unbelievable,
time.
By the way. Yes. That little you segment right there.
You whispered his ear when you go to sleep. That is really
That was really unbelievable. That was really unbelievable. Go ahead. Keep going.
But at the same time, he knows
that
I'm very good at making knives. And I'm like, how do you think Daddy got so good at making knives? And he's like, I don't know. And I'm like, I made a lot of mistakes, and one of my favorite definitions of a master is not somebody who never makes mistakes, but somebody who knows how to fix all the mistakes. And there's still so much for me to learn, because there's just so many things I haven't even done yet. But part of the journey is making fucking mistakes. It's just not wallowing in those and getting down on yourself about them, because if you do that and you're not trying to transform or learn from those mistakes, guess what? You're going to fucking make them again. And even if you do learn from them, you're probably still going to make them again. I make a lot of the similar mistakes over and over again. I've gotten better at fixing those mistakes. Instead of it being like this huge speed bump, I just go, oh, fuck. And then I back up a little bit, fix it, and then move forward.
There you go. Can't get much better than that. Beef out.
I'll take the next one from Performance Edgeworks. He says, I got beef. Hi, guys. My name is Jordan. My beef is with Even Heat Kilns.
Oh, shit. I thought we weren't naming names.
Don't worry. Just
it's a sponsor.
Don't worry.
Anyway,
relax. Just relax.
I recently had a problem with my
No, nobody's shitting on anything. Just let them read.
Okay.
I recently had a problem with my LB 22.5. As I called customer service, I was mentally prepared to be down for a few days waiting for parts. Their customer service and knowledge of their products is so good, I was back up and running that same day. So instead of getting a few days off, I had to get back to work. So he's got beef with them. Says, honestly,
he's too good.
A great product, backed by a team with the best customer support you will find. Thank you, Evenheat.
Yeah,
that's nice to hear.
So he was hoping for like a, you know, to close the shop down,
an enforced break,
and then Evenheat fucking took that. Get back to work, asshole. You got to get back to work. What are you talking about? You're not closing anything up, boy. You're going to be back to work in the next day. Same
Brilliant.
Day.
I think Brian can tell you all about them.
Knife Talk is sponsored by Evenheat, the manufacturers of the finest heat treat ovens available. To find your next oven, go to evenheat-kiln.com.
Now get back to work, boy.
All right, this next beef is from Liam Lynch. He says, I got a beef here for you blokes. Guys who have been in the game long enough to know better, giving bad or dangerous advice to new makers. If you've been making knives for 30 years and shown no improvement, maybe don't act like an authority on the matter. Because if you haven't learned to glue up a handle with no gaps or get your plunges even, you shouldn't be telling anyone how to do things. Oh, boy.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
Shots fired.
Shots fired. Now we're in a real beef.
I feel like you might have had to edit that one.
I didn't.
Oh, you didn't? Really? Oh, wow. Well, good job, Liam, not naming names and stuff.
Oh, I would have. If there was a name, I would have gotten it. Trust me. There was a couple years ago where we did the All Beef Review, and a certain female knife maker was named a lot. And I had to cut all those out because it was just like, we ain't doing that. This is, you know, but at the same time, it's like, you know, yeah, Liam, listen, there's a lot of guys who think they know everything, you know, and the funny part about knife making is when you get a little bit good, you think because you're good at one thing, you're good at everything. And, you know, don't listen to any of these motherfuckers. Some of these motherfuckers, don't even listen to me, frankly. I mean, I don't just do your thing. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Yep, all right. I agree. Nothing more to report. Okay, good. All right. Uncle Sam Metalworks, our friend, says, all beef review. A monosteel with a hamon is more pleasing to the eye than Damascus.
Well, that sounds like a hot take.
Yeah, that's a hot take. That's a hot take, not a beef.
Which I tend to agree with, to be honest with you.
Oh.
Whoa. All
right. Whoa.
If there's hamon there, I think, like, I want the hamon to be the center of attention. I want that to, it's all about the hamon, personally. But again, it's that thing. We've all got different opinions.
Beefed up. You got the beef in your cheeks.
We had a lot of beef recently.
Yeah, I bet you did, yeah. Especially Burger King.
Didn't need a thing. I'm never going back again. They didn't recognize me.
I'm you know, listen, if you, that's the way he feels. There's certain things I'm crazy about and certain things I'm not. And you know, to each his own.
We'll class that under as a hot take, I think, maybe.
Yeah, it's a hot take. But at the same time, Adam's a good guy.
Absolutely. Craig, what is the deal with Damascus? What is that?
Uh-oh.
No,
what's the problem?
What's the problem, bud? What's your problem, buddy?
I certainly appreciate the skill involved. I appreciate the skill involved. But I think if there's something like a hamon in there, I think the extra... The extra stuff that draws your eye probably takes away from the hamon. But I think if it's this nice, clean monosteel, I think the hamon really sort of pops a bit more. There's less stuff trying to take attention away from it, maybe.
Oh, so you're saying, I think I know what you're saying. I think you're saying that the hamon adds to the kind of the flow of the change of the knife.
Yes.
There's a little bit more connection between the steel. Okay, that's fair.
Yeah. No, I'm a huge fan of Damascus. And
Doesn't
involved,
sound like it, Craig. Doesn't sound like it, Craig, at all. Sounds like you hate it. Sounds like you don't like it at all.
But I think sometimes if there's a hamon on Damascus, it looks as if it's either not intentional or it's fighting against that pattern in some way.
All right. There you go.
Not always, but that's,
Okay.
I see where you're at.
Mareko's beef is me this week.
Yeah, Mareko's beef is going to... Yeah, he sure is. Why don't you take this next one there, Mareko?
All right, next one is from Paul Janzens. He says, got a beef for you when family members assume you'll be making them a chef's knife out of damaged steel for Christmas since it doesn't cost you anything to make it. I guess it's my fault for showing them my build-along knives. Yeah, it is your fault, Paul. Jesus.
Paul no. Jansen, gold that is a... star listener. Gold GSL. Star listener.
GSL.
I don't like it when people in our families assume that we'll do some shit for them for free. Mm. Fuck that. We're not that close. You know what I mean? Blood is thicker than water, but money's a little bit thicker than blood. You know what I'm saying? You know, Jesus Christ. I mean, am I wrong? I mean, you had it out with one of your distant relatives, right? They forked you over for a knife, right? Recco or Craig?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Recco has as well. But yeah, I think people think that it's a cheap alternative. Or they can just make me a knife instead. You know, where it's like, what you mean, sort of 20 hours in the workshop, yeah, as well as materials. So you think that's a cheaper thing for me to do than buy you a shit pair of socks? No, you're getting the socks.
Yeah, baby. You and those socks.
I'll take the socks anyway.
My brother-in-law told me, he's like, when are you going to make me that samurai sword? I'm like, when are you going to fucking open up that wallet of yours, asshole? I mean, Jesus. You crazy? I mean, what are you, nuts? What do you think this is?
Yeah. Yeah, I had my sister actually asked one time if I would make a knife for a friend of hers as a gift. I'm like, that is a fucking exorbitant gift. Mm. And she's like, oh, we're like really great friends. We're best friends. I'm like, I know, but like even her fucking parents aren't getting her something like that. Like, yeah. they're getting her a dish set or some shit like that. They're not buying her fully custom made knife.
Come on, bro.
I think it's not just knife making. I think it's any sort of creative endeavor. People don't see the skill and the time involved in it. They just see the outcome, you know, as if like, well, that's just a knife. And I know I can go to a shop and buy a knife for $30, $40. That's what they see. They don't see the back end of it, you know.
My high school friend, who I love this guy, I've known him, probably my oldest friend. And he wanted some fireplace tools, and I happened to just want to do, at the end of the year, I wanted to make some. So I said, go, you know, you buy the Knicks tickets, and then I'll make you the, because now it's just like, I might as well, I mean, I got a bargain. I mean, Knicks tickets are so expensive now. It's just like, so, you know, but at the same time, it was like, I didn't feel the need to, you know, tell him how long it took, and I didn't want to be that guy, and, you know, well, we better get these tickets, and you got to buy me hot dogs too. So, but at the same time, it's like some people just, when they know you, they think that you're going to give them a little bit of a break anyway. And that's obnoxious, I think.
I just got an image of your friend, like, feeding you glizzies.
Well, that's not going to happen.
Ayo. Sliding on down that gullet of yours.
Ayo, your beef. Yeah, your beef is with your imagination. Because that ain't happening. I am a old man, and that ain't happening. Craig, why don't you take our friend Justin Modica?
Justin Modica, speaking of beef, every time I make steaks, my wife wants it well done. But she does. No matter how long I...
Jesus Christ! Sorry. You son of a bitch, you! This is his beef. You can't add on to his beef. Go ahead. Start over. You son of a bitch. You're
anyway, where are we?
You are Justin the best. Modica, the king speaking of Burger beef. King.
Every time I make steaks, my wife wants it well done. No matter how... This reminds me, right? There was a show in the UK when I was growing up called Blankety Blank, where somebody'd read out a sentence, they'd miss out a few words, and you had to guess what the words were. And they were always sort of...
Oh, Jesus.
You know...
Like in a suggestible...
There's
raunchy
options. Basically in them a lot. Exactly, yeah.
Raunchy
so
options.
Reading out these questions reminds me of that now. But anyway, I'll start again. Speaking of beef, every time I make steaks, my wife wants it well done. No matter how long I cook it, it's still not done and pink inside. Shit ain't pink, it's grey. It drives me crazy. Mm. Oh, people who have like overdone steaks. Oh.
Do you know what? I had to make an overdone steak at Christmas. And I'm fucking just, he's like, do you mind? I'm like, oh, no problem. All you do is just leave it in the oven. Mm. That's why, Justin, they created microwaves. And that's what they do in the restaurants when they send shit back.
They slap it in a microwave.
Bring it to Chef Mike, and he'll take care of it. You know what I'm saying? So definitely check out the microwave, you know, and then you'll never have that problem again.
Yeah. But what's your ideal steak? What are we looking at?
when I was a kid, my family liked everything. They liked steak rare. And then when I went to culinary school, my teacher told me that mid-rare is the best temperature to taste the steak and the whole nine yards. So I go mid-rare.
Mm. Yeah, I'm mid-rare as well, if not rare, yeah. Depending on the cut.
I was going to say, it depends on the cut. Weirdly, here in France, cuts are very different to how they are in the UK. But yeah, mid-rare, yeah, that's the way to go, isn't it, surely?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Walker Nice. You want to take this one, Mareko?
Yeah. I got a beef. Customer places an order, writes the Magna Carta in the order notes, complaining about shipping prices, and then has the audacity to conclude with, "I must be your best customer by now. Throw in something awesome for me." It's not his first order, but he's also far from my best customer. People!
That's a Craig Lockwood throwback.
That's a good beef. Yikes.
Some people really have no consideration.
They're doing you a favor by buying your work.
Well,
from you, by the way.
If you were to think about it, you know, let's say I think that still today, and I fucking hate it that we all consider ourselves like artisans and we're like these little, we're creating this aura that this is not a business, but we're just these like beggars in the street, you know, with a fucking, you know, a cup full of pencils, and we should be grateful that anyone is buying our shit anyway. I hate that mentality, and I definitely have heard, I have had people being like, "Oh, I must be one of your best guys." You know, I have had that before. I circumvent that conversation completely. I don't fucking touch it. I stray around it, and I fucking go onward. Don't take the bait. Don't make there be any type of tennis conversation in this situation. Not coming back and forth. The ball's not coming back and forth.
It's interesting what you said then about how, you know, people see themselves as artisans and that, you know, that old fashioned way of doing business, that kind of thing. I think a lot of people do because basically it is one man bands, a lot of us. And we intentionally want to differentiate ourselves from big business. And, you know, and sort of pit them against us as if, say, you know, don't go to big business, come to us, you know, local family business or whatever it may be. But that, and I'm guilty of it as well, but I think we all need to be running ourselves a bit more like a big business.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So as much as we want to portray ourselves as that, you know, with this artisanal small family business, we need to have sort of dreams and ambitions of big businesses maybe.
We're kind of also... No disrespect to our listeners or to small businesses. We're also trying to give a guilt trip, probably unintentionally guilt tripping our customers. But, you know, even when I, you know, put on my stories, you know, support small business, there is a tiny undertone of guilt tripping you as the potential customer. And I feel as though some of these people are like, I'm doing him a service and then I should get a little bit more.
Yeah.
You got to let him say it and then pretend like it didn't happen. Because if you start to make a thing, it's you're gonna potentially lose a customer in general. Yeah, throw in a fucking, you know,
sticker.
Wipe your balls on something. It's just
like a box. You send him a tea bag.
Not on a blade, please.
No, you get yourself an Arizona iced tea with 99 cents on it, wipe your balls on it, stick it in the box. There you go, big guy. Bottoms up.
Oh my god.
Oh, jeez. Next one comes from our friend, Brigham Kindell.
Bingo.
Bingo Kindell. Says, my beef is with that relative or coworker that, quote, went vegan 6 months ago and complains about the lack of vegan options at a family dinner. Oh, when all they brought was a salad with cheese grated in it. Everyone has that person in their life. I fucking know 10 of them.
And they'll let you know, too, if they're vegan, believe me.
Boy,
they'll let you
vegans,
know.
And then it's like the CrossFit guys, the vegans, they love talking about being vegan. I was a vegetarian for 3 years, and I never fucking talked about it, really, because it's like it is obnoxious. Like,
it doesn't define you.
No.
Yeah.
And you also can't be one of those people. If you are a vegetarian or vegan, you cannot be one of those people who show up to someone's house and say, "Oh, I can't eat that. I'm vegan." no, you're going to fucking eat it. I mean, you're going to fucking eat it.
Or you're going to eat nothing. It's
No. You can't do that either. You got to fucking, you got to cough it up. You got to just be like, you didn't give him the wherewithal to say beforehand. You didn't give the host a little bit of notice. And you show up and you say, I can't eat any of this shit. Well, then you fucking go. You can't.
I think Bingo is salty because they brought a salad, but there was cheese in it. So that wasn't for the vegans. They should have just brought steak. You think should have just brought steak for everybody?
You think Brigham ate that salad?
No. They're saying that the vegan brought the salad.
Oh, I know. But you think Bingo had a little bit?
Oh yeah, for sure.
I don't think so. Yeah, maybe he did. I love Bingo. But you're right, Bingo. The 6 month vegans, you're out. You know, you got to give me a good three. You got to give at least three. There are certain things that we need some type of adjustment. 6 months is nothing. You're not allowed to.
We want to see your pale, pasty body.
5 years.
You're a real vegan.
5 years. And then no honey, no white sugar, no fucking cheese. None of that. You got to be. I need 5 years of like dedication before I change the menu for you.
That's a good. I would be curious if there is real cheese on that salad or if it was like, vegan cheese.
Fuck that shit too. Yeah. If you're a real vegan, a real vegetarian, a real vegan, you can't eat the fake meat. Because
I don't understand why they market it as
well.
Like,
I do like veggie burgers, but I am like the Malcolm X of vegetarianism. If you're gonna be a fucking vegetarian, you can't associate with meat eating at all. So fake meat is out. You cannot associate anything with carnivores. So my impression of a vegan is...
Are you talking different buses, different toilets for these people?
Dude, I'm telling you this. Jeez. When I get talked to about a vegan, because I've done a little bit of veganism, you got to be a fucking... You got to be like a horse outside. You got to be eating straw. And I don't want to hear anything about your fucking substitutions. You're not allowed. You have to be a fucking strict maniac to get my respect as a vegan. No cheese on top. It can't even be called cheese.
Yeah,
out.
That's the worst.
Out.
The fake
out.
Stuff is the worst.
Out. Yeah. You can't be associated because you have to be a proud vegan. You need to be separate from any type of carnivores. Any type. No veat. No none of that shit. None of that shit. You got to be a fucking real purist if you're going to get my respect. So that's. I take that salad and I throw it out the window. Like, get out of here, you vegan. Go to the gravel.
When you say
eat the gravel.
No veat. What do you mean by veat?
I used to go to the fancy food store, fancy food show at the Javits Center in New York years ago. And there was this company called Veat, V-E-A-T. And it was a meat substitute made out of vegetables. And I thought this shit was going to take over. I was like, this shit, it tastes just like fucking chicken. But at the same time, I loved it. I was like, I'll eat this shit, no problem. But I thought to myself, like, no self-respecting vegetarian should eat this. They're not allowed. Because it's kind of enough like chicken, but not chicken. No. You got to go on your own road, man. It's all scallions and fucking watercress for you.
Veat in Europe is very different. Veat is a cream that, like, ladies put on their legs.
Oh, no.
That's called Veat in Europe.
Oh, no, the old, like, Nair. Get the hair.
Like
get
Nair.
That.
Oh, my
get
God.
Get your leggy legs going.
But that's called Veat over here, yeah.
Yo, baby, get yourself some Veat.
Yeah.
You're looking kind of hairy these days. Can I offer you some Veat?
Yeah, my only issue with people being vegan or vegetarian or whatever is not that they've made that choice for themselves. It's when they're inflicting their choice on other people.
Right.
Yes.
And
yes.
I feel like honestly it's unreasonable to ask, and it's hard. Honest, if I were like, if I had dietary restrictions, I had like severe allergies or had a very strong philosophy around the food I'm eating, like I would have to, and maybe I'm just OCD or I don't know it, but I would have to bring my own food. And I feel like that's honestly the most reasonable thing for you to do instead of causing somebody to bring or to shift the whole menu around for you. Like, bring something more than a fucking salad to contribute to anybody else that might be interested in trying some solid vegetarian or vegan food or non-dairy or whatever the fuck.
I had a friend of mine, and we invited some friends over for dinner, and the husband sheepishly said to me, oh, my, by the way, my wife is vegetarian. But not only is she vegetarian, doesn't eat anything in the nightshade family. So all of a sudden, I'm like, well, what the fuck is that? Tomatoes, potatoes, eggplant, all this. I had to fucking do some research, and I was just like, no problem. I got you. Because I wanted to prove that I could make good the food good within the confines of this stuff. My sisters are vegetarians. I can, you know, you can make it happen, and I think it's actually for a person making culinary knives, it is good to learn how to make this kind of food taste good. It is obnoxious to expect people to know that you're vegetarian. You gotta, you're vegan. Yeah. You gotta say something, and then you get slapped around a little bit, and you get to, and you have to accept me having your balls broken. That is something that we don't talk about in this today's day and age, but we should be. It should be a completely socially acceptable to break someone's balls gently about their, you know, preferences.
Completely, I agree.
Socially you can come over. Bullying. I'll give you all my booze. I'll make a great meal. I'm gonna break your fucking balls, and then that's it. And that's it. And you have to accept it. You have to be gracious. Not only do I have to break your balls, you have to be gracious about it. You have to. Yes, that's very funny. Ha 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 ha. Yes. Thank you. May I have another? Here, have some watercress.
Do you think a vegan feels bad about drinking a Moscow Mule?
Only if the copper was mined by, you know, children and animals, you know, the worker bees that made the copper cup. Copper. All right, that's for another story. Keep going. Corbett Foster.
I've got a beef. Why did all the listeners with funny names stop sending in questions?
Did you read the, you finish it off.
Sorry. Respectfully, Dixie Normus.
That's Colorado Bruce. Colorado Bruce, old school, awesome guy.
Dixie Normus. That's a good one. I don't think I've heard that one.
Yeah.
Dixie Normus.
We had a period, didn't we, where we were getting so many, and they were, a lot of them were genuine ones too, I think. We had some genuine ones, and that sort of kick-started, then people sent it in false ones.
I loved it.
And
I love that. We were Hillary and I and Lila were talking about the, you know, trying to do those. We've done those, you know, those D's nuts jokes all the time. Yeah. There is nothing better. I mean, they're legitimately getting someone to, like, you see those videos where people, like, the broadcasters are reading off the names and stuff like that. It's the fucking best. Huge Anus. That one's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
It must have been 6 or 7 years ago we had where I think it was either myself or Moreco misread somebody's name.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's probably me.
Benjamin Cocker.
Benjamin Cocker. That was... That sort of kickstarted it all.
That was like the hardest you've ever laughed. I thought you were going to die. It was Benjamin Cocker.
Benjamin Cocker.
It was Benjamin Cocker, and Mareko read Benjamin Cocker. And, you know, and it was like you were crippled.
That was my dyslexia at its strongest point.
No, but I mean, if you put people's names together. Like in their username, there's hopefully that will happen. Hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully. We can only hope. Speedster Stoves. Here's for the All Beef Review. Everyone is posting images of their top podcast followings of 2024. You can all fuck off. Because if I do that, I piggyback onto my daughter's Spotify. So Taylor Swift is number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, et cetera. Bastards.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
You know,
probably
funny
some
enough,
Harry Styles sprinkled in there.
I got a. I listened to the Odyssey app. I listened to the sports radio show, and just because I like, you know, I love the Yankee stuff. I love the sports stuff. Turns out I was like in the top 10% of listeners, and I was slightly embarrassed. I posted about it, and some of the guys from the WFAN, hey, all right, top 10 listener, Gold Star listener. I was like, what kind of fucking loser am I? That listens to I'm the top 10. I'm a Gold Star sports radio.
You're not
listener.
Sitting there with your thumb up your ass and listening to it. Oh, you're fucking working, aren't you?
I mean, hopefully. Yeah. I mean, you know, some days.
I mean, unless you're just like sitting in the tub, then maybe that's what you got going.
Some
on,
days, but... babe. Some days. It's like, you know, the evening's not working. I'll get the customer service. It's like, you know, thumb up the ass time. You know what I mean?
God.
He's phoning up his local sports show.
Yeah. Yeah. Thumb in up my bath. Ass in the bathtub. What are you wearing?
Talking about like names and, you know, the order of the letters and how you put them together and misreads and so on. I suppose you wouldn't know her, but there was a woman called Susan Boyle. She won Britain's Britain's Got Talent thing, and this big thing. And when she released her album, like the PR company, they put up this big thing, and they're using this hashtag everywhere, which was Susan Album Party. But obviously it's a hashtag. It's all one word, isn't it? So it says S-U-S anal bum party.
Get the fuck out of here.
And it was used everywhere. Yes, Susan Album Party as a hashtag is S-U-S anal bum party. And there's this like 65-year-old woman, you know, trying to sell an album.
That is hilarious.
She was great. I remember when that happened. Her voice was awesome.
Yeah. But she sort of disappeared quite quickly, mine. But
she also came out of nowhere.
Yes, exactly.
Jesus, anal bum party.
Dang. Anal bum party.
How come no one saw that coming?
Sus anal bum party.
All right.
Where are we?
Jacob Stout. Mareko, take Jacob Stout.
Yeah, Jacob Stout. Oh, shit, I lost. All right. My beef is trying to drill slots for hidden tangs. They always take the fucking for fucking ever and end up crooked no matter what I do. Sorry, I just spent like 2 hours drilling an aggressively mediocre hidden tang slot in an expensive block of wood. Oof.
Right. Yeah, that is definitely, that sucks.
Yeah.
I would give that in the bad parts of the job, trying to drill out a slot hole with the, you know, eighth inch bit and kind of playing around. I don't like that at all.
Yeah.
Not good. Not good.
I think, I guess we're not answering questions, but something I've seen some people do in the past, especially if they're trying to keep the handle all one look, is they'll actually cut off a ferrule, but instead of adding spacers like you see in Japanese handles, they just glue it back together. So they try to keep the saw curve basically as tight as possible, but that way they can kind of work with that first part of the handle separately from the rest of the handle like you would with a Japanese handle. You still assemble it like a Japanese handle, but there's no spacers and you just put it all back together, but that way it stays really nice and tight and clean and kind of hides any kind of seam that might be there, but also because it allows you to kind of focus just on that slot without having to fuck around with everything going on.
Oh, so what you're saying is the bolster, you do the tight slot, and then the rest of it, you drill out the three eighths, and then you just load it up with epoxy.
Yeah.
That's what I do. Yeah, do I don't fuck around. Because who gives a shit?
Yeah, blast.
I mean, if it's going to be, there's no, you know, you don't have to use the, you know, you don't have to get the magnifying glass out at the end of the fucking tang hole, you know, shove it full of epoxy, you know, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, what are we doing here? You think the ABS is going to be like, you know, X-raying the inside of your knife? Jesus, I'm with you.
Give them ideas. Okay, I'm going to tell everybody about where you get your beef from. Texas, surely. And you know what the answer they got in Texas? The Farrier Supply. TexasFarrierSupply.com. Ooh, that was long-winded, wasn't it, I suppose? But they sell everything you possibly need, whether you're a knife maker, a farrier, bladesmith, however, whatever you want to call yourself, they've got everything for you, including the amazing, genuine Indasa Rhino Whet. If you're doing any sort of hand sanding, if you're not using Rhino Whet, you're doing it wrong, basically. Make sure you fill up your cart with Rhino Whet at TexasFarrierSupply.com and use Knife Talk at checkout to get 10% off at TexasFarrierSupply.com.
Don't accept any substitutes.
No substitutes for that Rhino Whet. There's some fakes out there, so make sure you go to
it. It is Knife Talk 10.
It is Knife Talk 10. Right, sorry. Okay, it's been a while. It's been a while. Okay, where are we?
This one's for
Manny
Mareko.
Fernandez.
This is a Mareko one. Go ahead. No, but go, Craig, read it out. This is like...
Well, I'll read it for Mareko. Okay, Manny Fernandez, 858. He reached out on Instagram. We are Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram. And he says, for the All Beef Review, what is up with the shitty boomer drivers? I drive for a living, and their sense of entitlement causes me near wrecks every day. They don't give a shit, and most of them are in trucks and have been drinking, and they're a huge safety hazard. Let the new age come sooner than later.
Yeah.
Boomer drivers.
One of the things that...
Here we go.
Especially the holidays.
These goddamn guys, drivers.
These motherfuckers. Well, it's just like, it's so, like, there's this weird, like, juxtaposition for the holidays. Like, it's supposed to be about giving and everybody spending time together and being kind and helpful and all this shit. But people are so shitty to each other, and especially the way they drive. I saw so many. I actually almost got into two different accidents Christmas Day just driving normally, just like the normal fucking going out to my in-laws, doing all that shit. Like, people are just like only thinking about themselves and what they got to get done. And the whole, it's like the whole world around them disappears, and it doesn't matter what they do. And it's, I saw this one fucking guy, like, I'm on the road and there's two lanes going straight through the light, one left turn lane on the left. And this motherfucker decides he actually needs to take a left, but instead of getting it over and getting in that line in time, he turns from the second of the two straight going lanes around the outside of the left turning people through a red light because he needed to make that turn. And it's just like, these people are like, they're risking their shit and other people's lives or health because they need to make a fucking turn and they don't have 5 fucking minutes. So instead, and like, there were so many accidents around here. It was crazy. Like, there were a few people that died. And it's just like, what the fuck are you doing? Wherever you're going, it's not that important unless it's a legitimate emergency. Fucking suck it up. You got to eat it. And you make mistakes and eat it. And then you got to go through the light and come back and turn around. Or you got to go around the block or whatever the fuck you got to do. It's nobody's fault but yours. I just fucking hate the selfishness about driving because it's you're risking people's lives when you do risky shit, like cutting across 5 fucking lanes to make an exit. I saw that happen so many times in the Northeast. It was fucking ridiculous.
There you go. Peace. I hate driving. I don't enjoy it at all. So
I love driving, but we've been to the city a few times with Christmas and all the rest of it. The amount of people on their phones whilst driving, you're passing them, you're just like, wow.
Drifting all over the place.
Nearly 1 in 2, you know? It's like, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
It is amazing considering how many cars are on the road and how many people are on the road that there's not like an apocalypse of car accidents. It is shocking. That it's like, you know.
Yeah.
I could tell some car stories, but I mean, who the fuck cares? I got somebody gave me the finger on Christmas Eve. It was crazy. This woman, I don't know what the hell happened. I was just like,
it wasn't a gift, right? Sorry.
No cheeky fingers.
I was in this fucking Burger King. The guy gives you the finger. Go to the bathroom. All right, they can't get much better than that. Let's keep going. Jesus Christ, Paulus. Junkukis. He even sent me the Paulius. I know you sent how to pronounce it. I apologize. You're the man. That's Baltic Blades. He says, I have a beef with a knife related podcast host. Let's just call the podcast Blade Chat. While one of the hosts was emotionally opening up, the other was like, sorry, I have to take a shit. And he left his friend doing ad reads. Do you know what this is? A deep cut? You know what this was? I was getting fucked. I don't know what happened. Mareko, you weren't around.
Yeah, I missed
and Craig
one.
And I were having a conversation.
You were getting surprisingly emotional about something,
I don't think
you?
I was emotional, but I think I was getting, like, fucking serious. There wasn't any dick jokes, and I was getting intense. And I'm going on and on in silence, and then all of a sudden, Jeff, I got to stop. I have to take a massive shit. And you, Craig stopped me in the middle of this, like, deep thinking thing. And he had diarrhea, and I had to.
I did not have diarrhea.
But then the best part was, you says, I'm going to cut this out. I said, don't you goddamn cut this out. Go take your shit, and I'll do all the ad reads. And then I did all the ad reads. You came back, and then there was like a unit of measurement of how long it takes for Craig to go to the bathroom.
Unless he's got a package that just arrived.
Oh, that was
true,
fucking awesome.
True, yes. That could be all day.
That was
yeah.
the greatest. I mean, it was the greatest punchline of all time. I got to take a shit. I got to go.
You can just imagine Craig sitting on his side. He's just like, all right, maybe he's going to be done in like 10 seconds.
Oh.
He's just doing the Dharma Steel read. He won't be long. He won't be long there. Yeah.
He was like, you must have been like gritting your teeth and like holding the chair. And you're like, Jesus Christ, Biting Jeff, I don't care. Well, fuck you. I don't care about you and your mother and all this shit. Well, I got to go to the bathroom.
You're in France. I'm surprised you don't have a bedpan that you can throw out with the night water.
What do you think this is?
The yeah, night? I should have
1720s?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. All right. Who's next?
I'm with that. Maybe we should do an ad read. Just to be clear, I do not need to go to the toilet. But I am going to tell you all about Dharma Steel. We've been working with them now for years, and we do the DCI Chef Invitational with them every year. They're really great for the community as well. Really, really good people. But on top of that, they make amazing, amazing stainless Damascus. So go and have a look at dharmasteel.ab, and you can see the patterns that they do. They repeat these patterns perfectly each time. Beautiful, beautiful stuff. Super easy to work with as well, which surprises a lot of people. But go have a look at dharmasteel.ab. And if you use Knife Talk at checkout, once you have your account, you'll get 10% off your order as well. And they're also dharmasteel.ab on Instagram. So go check them out. See the beautiful stuff people are making with dharmasteel.
Scott Porter. Mareko, Scott Porter.
All right, Scott Porter. I'm just thinking about how like we can use... hey, can you guys read a few ad reads real quick? I'll be right back. It's gonna be code for I gotta take a shit.
It's a code word. Yeah.
I got material for vamping. I had a famous guy on Full Blast a few years ago, and all of a sudden, and there's no real editing, and you know, editing's kind of tough too, because all of a sudden I hate to ask Craig to edit, and this is a TV guy, and all of a sudden he just points to me and says, I gotta go take the dog out for a leak. And I'm like, I had a vamp for like 5 minutes. So I now have like backup, like someone's got to go to the bathroom material. So like I have a note
ready.
Specifically for, I got some backup vamping.
You got
vamping.
Side stories that are waiting.
I got vamping news. I got a shit my pants news. I'm ready to go. So at any moment, someone got to walk away. I got you. It's going to be a weird fucking segue, but I'll make it happen.
Give us a teaser. What do you got sitting on the sideline right now?
I don't tease. Okay. It's when it happens, it's ready to go. I don't have it ready on the second, but when it happens, don't worry. Go ahead.
There's a special file to pull up. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. This one's from Scott Porter.
Shit Your Pants News.
Sponsor of Shit Your Pants News. also my beef for this week. I don't know why, but I hate finishing the front of handle scales before glue up. I dread it every time. It's such a small part of the process, but I can't stand it. LOL. Unless I have some cool handle material. So he's having a hard time with the front of the handles.
Really?
Oh, that's the easy part.
I always enjoy that because you get to see, like, imagine what the rest of the knife will look like, the handle, because you know, you polish it up and you see, you know, whatever material you're using, whether it's wood or whatever, you see how it'll look. I always enjoy that bit. It gives you a bit of a sort of a peek behind the curtain.
The worst is having to do it after it's glued up. I mean, that's like disaster area.
Yeah. How do you keep it clean after you do glue up? Do you just get in there with epoxy afterwards or some sort of like paste wax?
Yeah, I mean,
keep
yeah,
the
just,
epoxy
you know,
from hardening.
You got it when you use you got the Q-tips and the acetone and you clean it right up.
All right.
No problem. Yeah, no problem.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's just generally finished. You know. For me, anyway, the way I process it, everything is finished, and you finish those bolster areas to it, you know, to the finished look. So you might get a little bit of squeeze out, but if you do it like Jeff says, it's easy enough.
Nice. All right.
Red Snake Forge, another beef. I have another beef for you. The arsehole slow drivers that speed up going into a passing zone, not letting anybody pass, only to slow back down under the speed limit
Christ.
Afterwards. There's a special place in hell for you fuckers. Thoughts, Mareko?
Yes, I hate them too.
That is a problem. Where that is a problem. People really are horrendous. They're terrible etiquette. Yeah, but it's going slow in the passing lane is for, you know, that is for the birds.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, you guys, you have like 4 or 5 lanes, don't you?
I don't have 4 or 5 lanes anywhere. You're talking about the guys down in Atlanta. Atlanta,
yeah,
they have
4 or 5
lanes. I don't know.
Wait, you don't?
Right. Los Angeles,
you're on the
got
side
4 or 5 lanes.
But like on I-84 and shit like that, there's multiple lanes, right?
I mean, at some points, but usually 2.
Really?
2 lanes.
I guess
Yeah. Let's talk about traffic. Yeah. Traffic and weather at the nines, guys. Your hands are cold, there's a car fire down on the BQE. Warm your hands up by there. That's what's
where I'm at. We got 5 lanes in one direction.
I'll tell you what's funny about radio. Christmas time, everybody, all the main people are off, so it's all like the scrubs and like the And there was a traffic woman who was talking about the traffic on one of these, you know, major, you know, congestion. She said, if your hands are cold, you can stop by this car fire on the Major Deegan and warm your hands up.
Oh my God.
You know, there are people dead. People are traffic is snarled up. That's she's brutal. Trying to make some fucking she's making traffic jokes.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
She's shock jocking it. You should appreciate that.
I mean, it really wasn't the time or place. It was a little too dark. For fucking traffic on the ones. But at the same time, oh no, it's great.
All right.
It's the time and place, Jeff, for you to tell us all about your grinder.
Oh, you crazy? Broadbeck Ironworks, makers of the 2x72 grinder. I got a nice message from Vince. Everything's great. It's a great company. Support them. They're working on their power hammer. Looks great. Their grinders are fantastic. If you're going to up your game, this is the grinder for you. Vertical, horizontal, all the attachments. If you don't have a chassis, you can use the attachments for the things. If you go to broadbeckironworks.com, put in the promo code KNIFETALK10. Right? You get 10% off all the attachments. I think that's right. So definitely check out Broadbeck Ironworks. They're a great company, and they've been supporting this show for a long time, and we're with them 100%. And with that said, our friend Colorado Bruce, that's Corbett Foster, says, I have a beef. My old shop chair is tearing the ass out of me. Love the show. Hugh Janus.
I wonder if he's just sitting on the post.
What?
Is he sitting... Does he have a seat, or is he just sitting on the post?
He's just making a joke.
Okay.
Hugh Janus.
Hugh Janus.
I gotcha.
All right, go ahead. This is a multiple beefs from our friend Jocko.
Oh, boy.
Jocko. Do you want to take this from
Yeah, sure. I'll try. This is from Jocko. He says, beefs. Number one, my beef is with other knife makers either complaining about my price being too low or too high. I don't care about your valueless opinion.
That's true. Let's take these individually. Yeah, we can round robin them. I got a fucking guy when I was doing my my sale, and he says I'm making him look bad. It's like fuck you. I didn't even know you existed before this fucking message, bro. I didn't even know you existed, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, the low price.
Yeah, it's one of those things where people say whether you're too low or you're too high. It's like well. You don't know me. You don't know my situation. You don't know what it costs me. You don't know how I get my materials. You know shit. So, yeah.
Anybody you wouldn't take advice from, you cannot take criticism from. That's it. Hmm. Period. If you can't take criticism for it or you don't want their criticism, then you don't want their advice either. But fuck, I don't want people to do that shit.
I think it's insecurity. Yeah. It's their own insecurities, really. There's nothing to do with you. It's a them problem.
But this is also, this knife making community is a microcosm of like, you know, we're in this bubble of, we think that we're the only people in existence. It's madness. So we think that just because, you know, asshole over here does what I'm doing, we're supposed to be doing the same. And it's just not at all.
I think a lot of people think because there's this, I won't say supposed, there is a community around, you know, what we do, particularly online and stuff like that. That people think that everything they do, people have opinions of and they care about. Nobody gives a fuck about your stuff. They only care about their own stuff. But yeah, I've certainly been guilty of that in the past, you know, being so, you know, nervous and sort of beating myself about stuff, thinking, I wonder what they'll think about this. Nobody gives a fuck. They've all got their own thing getting on with, you know.
Madness.
Yeah, there's a big old world out there.
All right. The second beef from Jocko's is, my beef is with myself. I could have worked a lot harder this past year. Well, New Year's resolutions, ladies and germs. Work harder. Talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. Yeah. Do it.
Number three, my beef is with inflation and interest rates.
Yeah,
that's a true.
Fuck all you can do about that, I'm afraid.
That's a generational thing, too, ladies and germs.
Yes, yeah.
My parents' generation had a lot more dough than we do now. So blame them boomers. Fuck them boomers.
Yeah. And it seems to be difficult. Everywhere around the world, I've got friends in different places, and everybody's saying, like, their country's fucked. Mm. You know, everybody's saying it.
Yeah, it sucks. Sucks. Yeah. All right.
All right, number four is, my beef is with border agents who feel the need to get their unwashed paws in contact with my knives. So he must be getting his knives fondled.
Hey, yo.
Greasy mitts.
Hey. Sometimes it's not so bad. Hey, yo. Number five, my beef is with cops. What the fuck's going on with you, Chaco? Jesus Christ.
What's he doing?
Jesus Christ. He has completely radicalized himself by the time he got to number five. He's gone from fucking okay to now he's going to start a jihad, this fucking Chaco. He's like a fucking, he's radicalized himself within five fucking beefs. My beef is with the cops. Who pull you over for speeding and see half-finished knives on the seat beside you and say how cool knife making is and still write you up a ticket. Yeah, you got to...
What they pull you over for? I mean, that's why they're writing you a ticket.
Yeah, seriously. What do you do? What are you...
They're not judging your knives.
What are you writing your knives on the side of this chair like there's a passenger? Jesus Christ. You got to... Jocko, you got to learn how to sweet-talk these motherfuckers. I could do a Patreon on how to talk your way out of a ticket. But I'm not going to do it because I don't want all you thieving sons of bitches taking all my moves. I have fucking talked my way out of so many tickets. It's unbelievable. Not going to even tell you all. I'll tell you one thing.
Don't just keep a box of donuts in your car.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That always works. Here, officer, I hear you like donuts.
Some donuts and coffee.
And he rips the fucking ticket up. You're right. I do like donuts. On your way, sir. I'm going to fuck out of here. Yeah.
I've seen Beverly Hills Cop. I know you all like donuts and coffee.
Jocko, here's tip number one. Keep your fucking knives off your seat when they're getting pulled over. Jesus Christ. Let's keep going.
Justin Stinson. Another beef. I have a beef with constantly getting those sketchy products for free with my combat abrasive orders. I feel like a test monkey. Well. They don't test on animals. They only test on knife makers.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that is funny. We'll cover that last episode. Fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Paul Jansen said, here's another beef. I let a neighbor borrow one of my knives to skin his deer, and he decided to sharpen it after he was done. He completely screwed up the knife, but was convinced he was helping me by making it sharper than it was before.
Oh, wow. All right.
Dude, I have a customer who every so often will send me a message and be like, he'll say, I'm really handy in the, I'm pretty much an expert at sharpening, but I'm having a hard time sharpening this knife. It must, and he infers that it's the knife's fault. There are some people out there, you just don't talk about it. Don't talk about it. Just fix it. Yep. What do you think, Mareko?
Okay. I'm going to tell everybody about Maritime Knife Supply, and Mareko can then take the next question. MaritimeKnifeSupply.com. If you need belts, you get 10% off ordering 10. No codes needed, nothing like that. They're the one-stop shop for knife makers. Steel, belts, handle materials, tools, forges, kilns, and more. Also the Canadian distributor for combat abrasives. They also sell Rhino Wet and Rhino Stick. They've got it all. Lawrence is the dude. Head on over to MaritimeKnifeSupply.com. And just look at the stuff they've got, because I bet they've got stuff you didn't even know existed there. If you've got a little bit of holiday money floating around, that's the place to go. MaritimeKnifeSupply.com. Also, Maritime Knife Supply on Instagram. Go check it out.
And I have breaking Maritime Knife Supply news. Breaking.
Oh, okay, nice.
Jacob Stout, our listener, just wrote in, I got the email today that I won the Maritime Knife Supply Scholarship from the New England School of Metalwork. So I wanted to thank you guys for making me aware of it and thank Lawrence for putting it on. I'm super excited to go to learn and meet these people. Knife making is tough, but it's also been super rewarding, and having people recognize my potential and want to support me makes me feel like I'm on the right path. You guys are the best. So congratulations to Jacob Stout. He got the Maritime Knife Supply Scholarship. And if you're listening to this and you're wondering how you can get the next scholarship, which will be next year, you got to be one of our listeners, because it seems like our listeners are the smartest ones to put them in.
Yeah.
To put in for the scholarship. We had Joyce Cuddy last year, Jacob Stout this year. I mean, you get on board with Knife Talk.
Just people with J names.
Yeah, that's how Lawrence usually picks people, Jacob. If your name starts with a J, you're in. So, you know, just kidding. All right.
Jason Knight's in next year.
Yeah. and Jingo Kindell, he'll be the next year.
Django.
Yeah. Who's next?
All right. Colorado Bruce is back with another one. He says, beef. Following Jeff's example, I started making healthier choices. I feel great, and I've lost several pounds, but now my clothes don't fit. I'm with you, Lou Skunt.
Oh, Lou.
Mr. Skunt.
Oh, Lou. Yeah. Not much to say about that. Trails.
Nothing of this. Shall we move on?
Trails Edge Knives says every EDC tool you can buy is a bottle opener. How many bottles in reality do you open? I use the spine of my knife. Easy. Such a waste to add that extra, quote, tool to the list. So, yeah, bottle openers on the ends of knives. It's just like, you know, you can't open a knife with a. How hard is it to open a fucking bottle? Blade. Make a big production about these bottle openers.
People who open bottles with their teeth, though. I mean,
it's all Sweden, all Swedes. Oh, I know really? All do the they? Swedes I know do it. It's madness.
I do it.
Madness. Oh, you do really? Not.
Oh, it goes through me when I see people.
You do
like,
not.
Oh. I've done it for years.
Don't do it anymore. Oh, you're gonna you're gonna pull a tooth out, and you're gonna be like, I wonder what happened.
I'm not gonna pull a tooth out.
Oh, it's gonna break. You're getting old, dude. You're getting old. Trust me.
I got strong teeth.
Those teeth aren't as indestructible as you think. You're going to be making them, some of them, you're going to make one of them pattern welded teeth.
Put a gold tooth, Mokume tooth in.
No, you got to get yourself some of that Damasteel. Make a Damasteel tooth that gets yourself some of that stainless.
There you go.
All right, next one.
Where are we? Marc LeBlanc. What's with dishwashers? Am I the only household left on the planet that still washes dishes by hand? Knives can't go in the dishwasher if you don't have one, eh?
Dishwashers are quite true. Nice.
Who's got the time to be washing dishes?
That's what I was going
to
say. When I was single, or even when I was first married, dishwashing was fine. But literally, once we had a kid, there was so many more dishes. It was ridiculous. It was a fucking huge pain in the ass.
We don't use the dishwasher at all. I mean, my it's just my kid. Not
yeah, your
my,
dishwasher's my name mother. Is your kid's name.
No, but I mean, but we don't use the dishwasher that much. If we have like a people over and it's just so too overwhelming. But
I mean, mainly it's just the two of you now, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
All right. Well, dishwasher talk. Good job.
Christopher
Kern says this is for the All Beef Review. My beef is people judging my work before it's done. Yeah, it's pretty annoying. You're not going to do that, are you?
No, any sort of judging is, it's not good, is it? No good.
There are some people who are looking for problems, too. Like, I have some friends who do videos specifically to get people to complain or to say you're doing it wrong, specifically so they'll say, and because they're looking for engagement. And,
oh, what is that? Hate baiting?
It's like, it's crazy. And then they also like to, somebody says, you shouldn't be doing it like that. And then they'll say, why not? And then they'll make a whole thing and it's their whole livelihood. And it's my friend, Full Steam Designs. He will do these things specifically to get people to interact. Uh-huh. And it drives up his engagement, but it's just like, I don't want to say he has no soul, but he has no like inner workings that make him feel weird about like fighting with people online. He loves it. I couldn't do it.
Gee.
I couldn't do it.
I've had my moments, but
You know what the best moment Craig ever did? Oh, I got to tell you this one. Craig once went after one of the Knife Talk listeners out. This one guy started. This is years ago. He started berating Craig for some reason. Craig sent off a fucking nuclear missile and then blocked him and then reported him. I mean, I remember that. I think it was after an election and somebody was told you to go back to Russia or something like that and you fucking gave it to him. And I think you gave him like the nuke and then immediately after you saw that they saw it, then you blocked them and then reported them. Yeah, you're fucking vicious.
It's got to be the timing. They've got to see it. Then you.
Yeah. You loved it. You were telling me all about it. You're just like, oh, yeah, I got this guy. I got this guy. So he must have been pissed.
So. Shouting at the moon.
Yeah.
All right. Where are we? Mr. Monk's beefs. He's got leaf blowers and getting a broom and shut the fuck up.
He doesn't like a leaf blower? Come on, man.
God, that is the most direct beef we've seen. It's literally got beefs, leaf blowers, get a broom, shut the fuck up.
That's pretty good.
Brilliant.
We got one from Bigham Forge.
Yeah.
He says, nothing grinds me worse than the fact the society's standards for work effort and care have dropped. Bring back performance-based pay and end this entitled culture. What's that called? Meritocracy?
Look.
That's part of it, isn't it?
We're in a crazy world now where certain things are working and people like certain things and they're getting their fucking, let them get their bag. Let them get their bag. I say, if it works for them, it works for them. I don't know. Fucking Hawk 2 is in trouble because she started a Bitcoin. You know about this fucking thing?
Really?
How do you
started a cryptocurrency thing.
The Hawk coin.
She started a cryptocurrency and it immediately flopped and people lost like $400 million. It's fucking Hawk 2.
What?
Yeah, dude, it's madness.
400?
Fucking the world.
What the fuck?
You got to look up this. I didn't read the exact thing, but it was like this. And she's being investigated because she created her own like cryptocurrency and then everyone bought it. And then if they thought that she dumped it on purpose and like, millions of dollars fucking lost. This is all from Hawk 2. Unbelievable.
Wow.
So wait, does that mean she got the 400 million?
Something like $400 million were lost in this goddamn bullshit crypto.
So people invested in her coin and then she just...
She was involved. I think that she was... I don't think that she was... I mean, she's clearly not capable.
So it was hyped up because she was involved and she pulled out. Right, gotcha. Yeah,
look,
yeah.
People like these... people who have no talent or skills and it's working for them. What can you say?
Yeah.
It's crazy. There's an OnlyFans model who made $42 million last year. $42 million. Just who knows what the fuck she was doing? $42 million. I mean, look.
Well, you do because you subscribed. But
I don't.
It's only
subscribe.
For research purposes.
I had Ben Snur on and he and I both made a very big point about the fact that we will not be caught in any type of no one's going to catch me in any of this shit. So trust me, I'm clean as a whistle. Don't worry about that. It's just me and the Burger King guy getting a finger in the bathroom.
He knows nothing.
He knows nothing. Trust me.
Who we got here? Tree Swift Goods. Hey, got a beef. Knife makers who make Japanese inspired knives with wire handles and a really steep Western style belly. Okay, this is picky.
Yeah, I think he's saying picky as fuck.
Picky as fuck. But to me, it just looks wrong. I look at these and think the maker clearly doesn't understand the difference between Western and Japanese knives. It ain't just the handle construction. And he says, P.S. Am I just the same as those dickheads say? It's not Damascus if it wasn't made in Syria. Asking for a friend.
Hey, he's enlightened. Tree Swift is enlightened because all of a sudden at the end of it, he's just like, maybe I'm one of these jerk offs who.
Maybe I'm one of them. Yeah. Yeah. I think people are just trying to find something that they can cling on to as their sort of style, maybe. Yeah. And it's obviously very difficult to do because at the end of the day, they're all just sharp, pointy objects. But. Yeah, that whole mixing and matching. Maybe there's a place for it.
I have a sample of a knife that has like a harpoon clip or a point, a clip on the top of it. Mm. And someone came in and said, "What is that purpose for?" And I just put my fingers together and I said, "For moolah." It's moolah. That's the moolah clip. There's no.
Yeah.
No one's doing shit with that. It's the fucking money clip, baby.
I did do a bunch of them a long time ago for a restaurant because it was a fish restaurant, and I think it was in Singapore or Bali, the restaurant.
Holy shit.
And literally the fishermen would come off the beach and serve the restaurant, like right on the beach there, and they all used harpoons. So they said, could we build that into the design a bit? So there's a sort of a purpose in that one.
Right.
But generally, people are just looking for something.
I tend to stay away from words I don't really associate with. So, like, I steer clear of, like, the Japanese. I feel like, for some reason, I don't have much connection to it. So I stay away from words that I don't have association with. And it's generally all any Asian word I stay the fuck away from just because I'm just like, it's not like I'm better than anybody else, but I'm just like, I'm a schmuck from the Upper East Side. I don't know any of this. I'm not going to fucking use words that I don't really, like, have a connection with. So.
Yeah. Fair enough. Randy Reichardt. You want to take that one, Reichardt?
Yeah, he says, my beef is with people and they're fucking small talked. Or who just don't stop talking even when it's obvious that you're busy or in right in the middle of something. There should be a universal hand signal that tells people I'm busy. Dude, shut the fuck up.
I think it's called the middle finger. I haven't. It's I'm with you. If you I'm with you started as a way to get people to stop talking. I'm with you is the open sesame for conversation starter because I'm with you.
I thought it was the door closer.
It's closing the door on that. It was like as soon as I started saying, I had a guy come in and he's telling me about his politics. I'm just saying, I don't want to fucking listen to this. I'm with you. And as soon as you say I'm with you, it's like we don't have to waste your breath. Keep going. You know, keep moving. Yeah. It's legitimately
small talk is.
It's like hypnotism. I'm with you is like hypnotism. I fucking love that shit. I'm with you.
Do you know what the worst is for small talk? The school run, and you're waiting outside the gates for the kids to come out. And you've got all these people just standing there, and there's some people, you just know they've got to talk, and you're just like, oh, please don't, because you can talk about nothing.
The worst is cliches, when people talk in cliches. That can go fuck, cliches can go fuck themselves. I hate it when people talk and they use something that they've heard somewhere, and they're using it, and it's supposed to be like conversation filler of a conversation you don't even want to have. It's like, bread...
Do you have an example of one?
That's not a cliche, but it's like, that is true. But cliches are like those, you know, these expressions that people say that are just like, you know, that other people say, and there's really nothing behind it, and no one, you know, it's just like conversation filler. It's like, I fucking hate it.
Yeah.
I just don't talk to them.
Boom.
Sometimes I just don't talk to them.
That's when you got to get that.
That's the only way.
That's when you got to get
way,
that damn tooth, and you can have it inscribed saying "fuck you, get away from me."
Just give him a big smile.
Yeah,
the Darmsteel tooth.
Oh,
that's got to happen this year. Come on, listeners, the Darmsteel tooth.
You know who's got to have it? Pear.
Who's that?
Oh my god. He's got like a Darmsteel grill.
Pear, you're not on gangster. Listen to this, but
yeah,
but Carly is Carly. We got to work on a Damasteel tooth. Damasteel grills.
He's got to lift the brand.
Oh, my God.
The brand, tell him.
I'd consider it, but I mean, I'm just kind of... That's not my thing. No. Okay. Rob McKinnon says, here's my beef. When makers say it's good enough because it's just going to sit here on the shelf and not get used. That's maddening. As a maker, it needs to be right, and you never know who will end up with it. And that knife you made down the line has to have your maker's mark on it. Always make the best you can, regardless of how it's used. We're okay, rant over.
Mm. I agree.
Who's saying that? It's good enough. It's just going to sit on a shelf and not get used.
I probably have said that a few times. I ain't going to do nothing with it. I probably do say, these motherfuckers aren't going to do anything with it. You know. And it's never like...
Don't
worry. Give him the old, you know, C plus, the old C plus move. Give him the old, you know, 50% shit. Yeah. But I'm just like, when it's done, I'm just like, this motherfucker never uses that.
All right.
Scott Porter, another beef. Patch and custom Mosaic pin accounts. Please, for the love of God, stop messaging me. Also, if your first message is just hi. Forget about
any
it.
Any message that starts
I've been getting those.
Hi, dear. Oh, the fucking worst.
Dude, I've been getting those as text messages, just like random numbers, and all they say is hi, and they're phishing. And I just delete and report them or block them or whatever the fuck you do in your text message.
That's a massive problem because people are hoping that sometimes you'll get one that say, hey, I look forward to seeing you tonight, or what time should we meet at the restaurant? And I'll say, we have the wrong number, and they'll be like, that's so weird. And then they'll start talking to me about something else. It's fucking a problem. It's a real problem.
I don't know what the end game is, though. I get them on WhatsApp all the time. And I'm like, what? You know, what's the end game?
You're trying to be stupid enough to give them your money. Scams are big business.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been getting, especially this time of year when so many packages are being delivered and stuff, I got a lot of USPS or UPS, your package, there was an issue with your package, it couldn't be delivered, go to this website. And so people are going in and trying to figure out what's supposed to be coming their way, and they're fucking getting ripped off. And I just deleted all of them. Know that if you did not sign up for any text messaging, then it's a scam. It's a scam on you. Do not open any.
My mother, God bless her, fell for a lot of that shit, and it was would fall for, and you know, obviously I'm not speaking poorly of her, but at the time, I'll tell you one funny story. She used to fall for the publisher's clearinghouse things that were like, you know, you give them all, you call up, you give all this information, they give you money. And there were times where I had to say, Mom, you cannot give your social security number over the phone. But she said, but they're going to give me something. And I had to explain to her. And then over time, it was just like crazy. One time she said, Jeffrey, this is a number of years ago, Jeff, are you doing anything at 3:00? And I said, well, I'm at the shop. What's up? And she says, I need you to come over here to act as muscle. I said, muscle? What are you talking about? Well, there's this guy who's going to come down here. He's going to give me some money. And I want to make sure you're here to look tough, so I don't get robbed. I'm like, what are you talking about? And she was on the phone with this guy. He's going to come down and he's going to take her money and stuff like that. But I was supposed to be, I said, I'm your son. I'm not your fucking bodyguard. Why are you, don't let people at your house. And she was, there was a lot of that, but older people fall for that shit all the time.
Jeez.
All the time. Here's what I suggest. Let's take a couple more and then we'll pepper the rest of them in the future episodes. Because we got a pile of them still.
Yeah, why not? Okay, where are we?
Dustin Sheffield, I think.
Yeah, Dustin Sheffield.
All right, Dustin says, here's beef number two, right up the B-gap. I got fired on Christmas Eve. Who the fuck does that? I decidedly took the high road, though, as I packed up my tools out of the fabrication shop in the rain. As all my blacksmithing tongs and hammers took a wetting, I had to play some KTP to cheer me up. Lo and behold, I heard Jeff Fader talking about how most knife makers don't have that shop experience, which I just walked away from after 3 years. No regrets on the table, but thank fuck I don't have to listen to that honky-tonk bullshit music anymore.
Poor Dustin.
Sorry about that.
That's fucking Christmas Eve.
But I will say...
That sucks.
Yeah. I feel like, for some reason, shops like that love playing... And if you love like new country music, honky tonk country music, great. But it's a lot. It can
and
be a bit.
The
much.
Other thing is, Dustin, is getting fired before Christmas might be a company problem. That's usually when you get laid off at the end of the year. That's not necessarily a sign of your work. It's usually a sign that they're having, you know, the business is not doing well. I generally think that. That's the case, especially if the business isn't doing well.
Yeah.
And I'm not blaming them. I'm just saying that you're better off. I mean, that's the old school, like.
Yeah. And I think some might be saying as well, let's just keep them till Christmas, you know? We can't get rid of them before Christmas kind of thing.
I mean,
you know?
Fabrication shops are usually working up until Christmas Eve, and then they shut down between Christmas and New Year's, because depending on the kind of fabrication shop, is they're really, you know, not doing the kind of work in between, and if they're not doing very well. I'm saying it's a shitty fucking thing. I hate, I got let off, the last job I had, I got let go the Friday at the after we installed a job. And I'll say that was the most humiliating thing. We installed the job everything was done. We were packing up to go and we were in the car and I got laid off after we did the install. That was like the, because they thought if they laid me off before the install, I would have a different attitude, you know? And it was the shittiest fucking thing. And I swore I would never do that to anyone. And I've had to fire people in the past, but it's always been as like honorable as possible. I'm trying to think if I ever threw somebody out. Yeah. Oh, we did have to. The first person I ever had a fire, Tony and I had a fire. It was not good. But we didn't like wait until, you know, the end of Christmas and then fuck off.
Yeah,
that's some bullshit. Dustin. That's some bullshit. It sucks. But you did get experience from it because now you know what not to expect, you know, or do in the future. That's a fucking strong beef.
Keep your chin up. Hubris Workshop. I have a beef that might be an unpopular opinion. My beef is with anyone who refers to themselves as a dog dad, a dog mum to their fur baby. Stop trying to conflate pet ownership with parenthood. If you get sick of your dog, you can lock them in the bathroom and go back to doom scrolling TikTok. If you get sick of your toddler, buckle up, dickhead. It's still 3 hours to bedtime and you have dinner, bath, and a 45-minute bedtime routine. That's going to play out like a Shakespeare tragedy every single night. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I've owned dogs that I've truly bonded with that I considered best friends. But does it even come close to the peaks and valleys of being a father?
That's a good one, dude.
Oh, Hubris fur Workshop.
Baby. Can I see your fur baby? Get out. Are you talking about my penis? You better. Are you talking about my penis? How dare you, sir?
Oh, and they got little t-shirts for their dogs and little dresses.
And the cars with the bumper sticker that says dog dad. Oh, get out of here.
Yeah.
That might be some like hardcore different type of community that we don't know about. But, you know, you guys know about the upside down pineapples? There's this swinger community. And to signify whether or not you're a swinger or not, and usually it's on like cruises or something like that, they'll use a pineapple image and it's upside down. So anytime you ever see a pineapple upside down, it signifies that they're DTF.
They're swingers.
DTF, like right. Or a t-shirt or down to fuck. Yeah. Come on, Craig. Come on, man. Yeah.
DTF.
Yeah, because there are these weird communities. Like all of a sudden you see these things and somebody says something. Oh yeah, upside down pineapple. That means, you know, they're swingers. And I'm just like, are you really? And then all of a sudden when you start seeing the upside down pineapples, you know, there's a subculture out there of fucking wackos.
Yeah. I guess it's a big thing also in RV and camping parks. People will have, like, on the back of their car, the back of their trailer, they'll have a sticker, or they'll have pineapples, like, little fake pineapples on their, like,
really?
Like in their landing pad or whatever, in front of their trailer.
Can you imagine
like that?
Fucking anything worse than showing up at a trailer park with a bunch of fucking horny trailer park people? Yeah.
All right, then.
Fucking horny trailer park. Oh, my God. That sounds like a terrible movie.
It's all over the fucking place. They're just a bunch of fucking retirees.
The worst is they're like cruises specifically for it. So it's just like the chlamydia cruise, you know? It's like everyone's just banging on the cruise.
Yeah. Apparently they have big problems on cruises with pensioners.
That's a big thing. That's a big thing with some of these. Wow.
Well,
there's a special old folks home called, it's down in Florida. It's called The Colony. I think it's called The Colony. It's notorious.
The Colony.
I think so. It's notorious for being the biggest... like petri dish for sexually transmitted diseases. And everyone's like over 75. You just go down to the, I don't know if it might not be the colony, what? Something else like that, but it's like very well known as this area of like, you know, these fucking horny pensioners.
Swimming in pools of liquefied Viagra.
God. Terrible. All right, we'll do one more and get the...
Jesus. We've gone from bad drive into horny pensioners.
Let's do. Here's Greg Anthony. Greg Anthony, my beef is people complaining in a Knife Talk podcast about Instagram and social media being unfair. Then having to hear 45 to 60 minutes of explaining about the downfall of relying on social media. Let's get back to some real Knife Talk. Hey, Greg, how about some pineapple talk? Because we just did about 5 minutes on pineapples.
Well, Greg's got a point. He's got a point.
Well, but here's the thing, and he is right. The problem is sometimes we are run, this show is steered by the listener. So if we get a lot of questions that the listener has, we kind of have to, I mean, with the exception of stuff we don't really know about, you know, people, that's what people want. So if you're listening to this and you're thinking, I need to hear more talk about this, submit your questions. You can steer the ship, you know, and I'm with you. I don't want to talk about it. I got once I started talking about Section 230 or something like that. And my man Henry Hyde wrote, he wrote to me, DM me, he says, if I hear one more time about fucking Section 230, I'm going to kill myself. He didn't say that. I apologize for saying that. He said something along the lines of, he's like, I'd rather do anything but that. Never again. And I stopped. So, Greg, send in some questions you wanted us to talk about. We'll talk about them. Yes.
Can I do one more before we go?
Love
from Sausage Man Forge.
Oh, boy.
G'day.
Jamie Bishop.
I have a beef for you. All the beef review. I have a beef for all the all beef review. But before I start on that, and I know it has nothing to do with you guys, but the advertising we are fed in Australia is mostly for the online dildo shop. I guess there are a lot of lonely knife makers out there. And he says, my beef about the intellectual giants in our society who have to go and buy 3 months' worth of food because the store is going to be closed for 24 hours. He said, COVID toilet paper people. Those kind of people. And whilst they are doing that, their monster shop, these people leave their shopping cart in the parking space next to them. So it's impossible to park your car without moving a cart or three. It's definitely a hate crime. Let's go back to the beginning.
Dildo shop?
Forge, about the advertising and the dildo shop. We've been through this so many times. You know the score. If you're out there in Google land, Googling stuff, the podcasters, they're going to know about it, and they're going to want to send some advertising that I think will be suitable for you. So Sausage Man Forge, with a name like that too, I think maybe lay off the old dildo shop.
I was about to say, that name is just like, the algorithm's just like, ooh, this is perfect timing, perfect targeting. Let's get old Sausage Man Forge. He obviously wants some dildos. Well, here you are.
Do you know what we should... Do you know what we should do? We should start fucking with people now, because we keep telling people that we have no say in the ads at all. It's basically down to them, their preferences, what they look at, and all the rest of it. It's nothing to do with us. We should start like baking in ads for things like that, you know, just to make people feel completely.
This episode is
paranoid.
Sponsored by hemorrhoid cream, because you motherfuckers.
Exactly. Yeah.
Good old sausage.
Yes, we should.
What we'll do is we'll sprinkle some more beefs in every so often. We still have a pile of them left. Oh, we have a few.
Yes.
All right, we did a good job.
Let's call it a year. That was 2024. Thank you for listening, everybody. And here's to 2025. And we shall speak to you next Monday, as we do every Monday. Bye for now.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.